The Hidden History of Verse 40, Number 26. Ezekiel Number 7.
The prophetic line which I am identifying as the wheel of Josiah begins with the rebellion of ancient Israel as they rejected God as their king in 1097 BC. The first three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, are identified as reigning for 40 years from 1097 BC through to 977 BC. At Solomon's death, the rebellion of Jeroboam and the 10 northern tribes finished the line of the first three kings and begins a line of kings in both the northern and southern kingdoms. The first three kings are a symbol of many truths, but one of the wheels of truth which they are connected to is the last three kings of Judah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, who in turn represent Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes in turn represent their three decrees reaching from 516 BC to 457 BC, who in turn represent the three angels of Revelation 14 that arrive in 1798, April 19, 1844, and October 22, 1844, respectively. The history of the arrival of the three angels of Revelation 14 is repeated to the very letter in the sealing time of the 144,000, thus identifying that the prophetic line that begins with the anointing of Saul as king reaches its conclusion when the church triumphant is anointed at the soon coming Sunday law. The line includes the wheel of King Josiah that reaches back to Jeroboam's rebellion of Bethel and Dan in 977 BC.
22.
Jeroboam possesses the symbolism of 22, for he reigned for 22 years, thus tying his witness into the history represented by 22, which is a symbol of the combination of divinity with humanity as illustrated by Daniel's Mara vision in the 22nd day, and the number 220, of which the number 22 is a tithe. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. 1 Kings 14 verse 20. The at-one-ment, representing the combination of divinity and humanity, is the work of Christ that began on October 22nd, or the 10th month, Gregorian. 10 times 22 equals 220. Jeroboam set up counterfeit altars at both Bethel and Dan, and is therefore a symbol of the counterfeit worship of Sunday in connection with the combination of church, Bethel, meaning church, and state, Dan, meaning judgment. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. 1 Kings 12 verses 25 to 33. In the foundational history of the 10 northern tribes, there was a rebellion that had been typified by Israel's rejection of God as king, and also by the rebellion of Aaron and the golden calf. Aaron's rebellion was at the foundational history of ancient Israel, and Jeroboam's was at the foundational history of the 10 northern tribes. Line upon line, Aaron, as a high priest, represents the church, and Jeroboam, as king, represents the state. Those two foundational rebellions are a line that includes the foundational rebellion of the people of Israel in desiring a human king.
490.
There are three periods of 490 years in the sacred history that is represented in the book of Ezekiel, and one was associated with the kings, the other with the sanctuary, and the other with the host. Those three periods align with the rebellion of Aaron, the sanctuary, Saul, the host, and Jeroboam, the king. Of the three symbols of prophet, priest, and king, it is King Saul who is identified as prophesying, and Aaron was the priest, and Jeroboam was the king.
And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, "What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And one the same place answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" 1 Samuel 10 verses 11 and 12.
The church triumphant consists of a 30-year-old prophet, a 30-year-old priest, and a 30-year-old king, represented by Ezekiel, who began in the 30th year, Joseph, who began his service in the 30th year, and King David, who began to reign in his 30th year. The church triumphant is represented in the last eight chapters of the book of Ezekiel as the temple that fills the earth, and the church triumphant is Philadelphia, which is the eighth church that is of the seven. The prophetic line of Josiah that began in 977 BC ends at the soon coming Sunday law, the purification and sealing of the 144,000 that began on December 31, 2023, began when Michael descended to resurrect the two witnesses of Revelation 11. 2023 arrived 22 years after September 11, 2001, just as the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 arrived 22 years after the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Jeroboam's 22-year reign began in 977 BC when the prophecy of Josiah was set forth. At that time, the disobedient prophet of 1 Kings chapter 13 confronted Jeroboam's apostasy, just as Moses confronted Aaron's apostasy, and Samuel confronted the host who desired a king. Those confrontations against foundational apostasies represented by the message of the disobedient prophet, Moses and Samuel represent the loud cry of the third angel at the Sunday law. It is the warning message proclaimed by the ensign, which is represented in the history of Jeroboam as the prediction of Josiah accompanied with a sign.
"And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel.
1 Kings 13 verses 1 to 10. The prophet's refusal to eat with Jeroboam in spite of the offer of half thine house aligns with Herod's promise to Salome of half of his kingdom.
And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Mark 6 verses 21 to 24.
Herod's pledge of half his kingdom took place at his birthday. Herod is a symbol of Rome, and the 10 kings of Revelation 17 are typified by the tenfold division of Rome in Daniel chapter 7 and the 10 toes of chapter 2. His birthday is marked when the sixth kingdom is replaced by the seventh kingdom at the Sunday law, and in this sense, it is the birthday of the United Nations as the seventh kingdom of Bible prophecy. At the soon coming Sunday law, the 10 kings, represented by Jeroboam's 10 northern tribes, agree to give their kingdom to the beast for 1 hour in Revelation 17.
For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled.
Revelation 17, verse 17. Before we take up Ezekiel's prophecy of chapter 4, we will identify the 13 times Ezekiel directly identifies a date. Those 13 waymarks break down generally between the world and God's people. The world represented by Egypt is placed into a direct date 6 times, and Tyre is addressed once, and the other 6 times Jerusalem is the subject. The book begins in 592 BC, which is the 30th year of the 17th Jubilee cycle, and verse 1 of chapter 40 of Ezekiel identifies October 22, 573 BC, as the end of the cycle. The Jubilee cycle represents the sealing time of the 144,000 from 9/11 unto the soon coming Sunday law, which in turn is represented in a fractal of that very history from December 31, 2023 unto the soon coming Sunday law. Both periods were typified by August 11, 1840 unto October 22, 1844. On August 11, 1840, no less a personage than Jesus Christ descended as the mighty angel of Revelation 10, who brought a little book that God's people were to take and eat. The same angel again descended at 9/11 to mark the beginning of the sealing time. The same angel descended on December 31, 2023, to resurrect the two witnesses who had been slain in the street of that great city of Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. That descent marked the closing period of the sealing time. Within the fractal period of December 31, 2023 unto the Sunday law, Ezekiel the priest is given a vision of the temple in heaven. At that time, he is made dumb and only speaks when God commands him to do so. His condition lasts until the soon coming Sunday law, represented by the destruction of Jerusalem. As with John, Ezekiel is commanded to take the book that was in the descending angel's hand in Revelation 10. And also told to eat the book of lamentation, mourning, and woe.
But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations, and mourning, and woe. Ezekiel 2 verses 8 to 10.
The message is represented as a threefold message, thus typifying the message of the three angels of Revelation 14. It is therefore the sealing message of the third angel that seals those within Jerusalem who are lamenting and mourning the sin of the church and the land, as represented in chapter 9 of Ezekiel and chapter 7 of Revelation.
And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Ezekiel 9 verses 3 and 4.
Those who receive the seal are mourning for the sins of the church and the sins of the land, and Ezekiel's testimony is woven upon the history of Jerusalem and Egypt, symbols of the church and the world.
The leaven of godliness has not entirely lost its power. At the time when the danger and depression of the church are greatest, the little company who are standing in the light will be sighing and crying for the abominations that are done in the land. But more especially will their prayers arise in behalf of the church because its members are doing after the manner of the world. The command is, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. These sighing, crying ones had been holding forth the words of life, they had reproved, counseled, and entreated. Some who had been dishonoring God repented and humbled their hearts before Him. But the glory of the Lord had departed from Israel, although many still continued the forms of religion, His power and presence were lacking. Testimonies, Volume 5, 209, 210.
In the context of the Book of Lamentations, mourning and woe typifying the three angels of Revelation 14. The lamentations and mourning are the first and second angels, and the third is the message of woe, a symbol of the east wind that is held in check by the four restraining angels of Revelation 7.
Egypt.
In the book of Ezekiel, there are 13 dates referenced. The first of the Egypt set of dates is Ezekiel 29 verse 1, and it represented 587 BC.
In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh king of Egypt, and prophesy against him, and against all Egypt. Speak, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, My river is mine own. And I have made it for myself. Ezekiel 29 verses 1 to 3.
587 BC is the year of the siege, which began 1.5 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. At that time, Ezekiel proclaims that God would overthrow Egypt, and that the overthrow would demonstrate to God's people their foolishness for trusting in the dragon of Egypt. By the end of the chapter, a pronouncement is made that Egypt would be given to Babylon, thus identifying when the 10 kings give their 7th kingdom of Bible prophecy to modern Babylon, the 8th kingdom, that is, of the 7. That prophecy was fulfilled 17 years later in 571 BC, as set forth at the end of the chapter. Chapter 29, therefore, contains the first and the last reference of dating associated with Egypt.
And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadrezzar king of Babylon caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was peeled. Yet had he no wages, nor his army, for Tyrus, for the service that he had served against it. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadrezzar king of Babylon, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 29 verses 17 to 21.
The 20th year in the first month in the first day of verse 17 represents the last date of the 13 dates in Ezekiel, and it is the only date that falls after October 22, 573 BC. It represents when the king of the north in Daniel 11 verses 42 and 43 is given Egypt, as well as the point when the 10 kings give their 7th kingdom to the 8th kingdom, that is, of the 7. It is fulfilled when the horn of the house of Israel buds forth. In Isaiah, Israel buds in the day of the east wind.
He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah 27 verse 8.
When Ezekiel 29 verse 17 is fulfilled, and the dragon of Egypt is given to the papal beast at the soon coming Sunday, law the latter rain will be poured out without measure upon Israel. That rain began on September 11th as a sprinkling as typified by Christ breathing upon his disciples after he descended to earth after he had ascended to his Father following his resurrection.
The act of Christ in breathing upon his disciples the Holy Ghost and in imparting his peace to them was as a few drops before the plentiful shower to be given on the day of Pentecost. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 3, 243.
Ezekiel's prediction of the fall of Egypt was proclaimed in 587 BC, the year of the siege, and 17 years later the prediction was fulfilled. It is fulfilled in the period represented by the number 17, thus representing the hidden history of verse 40 of Daniel 11. It is to be fulfilled during the sealing time of the 144,000, which is portrayed in chapter 9 of Ezekiel. In the sealing time the latter rain is poured out, first as a sprinkling at 9:11, and then a full outpouring at the Sunday law. It is fulfilled according to Isaiah in the day of the east wind, and Islam is the east wind, and Islam is the third woe. The message Ezekiel was to eat was a threefold message, of which the third part was the message of woe. Ezekiel's 13 dated messages were set forth in connection with Jerusalem, Egypt, and Tyre. They were all addressing rebellion as represented by the number 13. We will continue to consider the dating of Ezekiel in the next article.